The uniqueness of Lutheranism is that it gets the New Testament doctrine of justification like nobody else.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
It's also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith. Don't lose heart. You're not crazy. You're just an Orthodox Lutheran. Be faithful, be kind, and be Orthodox.
You can listen to President Harrison's presentation and all of the speakers at the Making the Case conference on a new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. There are times when Jesus in the New Testament sounds so much like the Old Testament, you wonder whether or not he is, well, sometimes he will quote the Old Testament. There you kind of firmly know that he has a particular Old Testament passage in mind. That's not difficult to discern. But then there are times when he seems to be building upon, alluding to, actually explaining in the same words famous passages from the Old Testament. Isaiah 55 has these words, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Words that could have and perhaps were spoken by Jesus himself. It's our series on Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in Isaiah 55 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer for the remainder of this hour on this Friday afternoon, August the 1st. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
What do you think? I mean, there's a lot of this kind of language coming out of Jesus' mouth, and it seems to be very closely tied to Isaiah 55. Do you think these passages are in his mind when he says words like, when he talks about living water, when he talks about, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink?
Yeah, these are words that directly, automatically flow out of the mouth of Jesus. He is the incarnate Word. So he's the Word of the Lord that comes to speak in the days of Isaiah. He's the Word of the Lord that comes to speak in the days of the apostles, too. And so these claims that Jesus makes, I mean, these are just a pretty incredible claims. If anyone thirsts, come to me. You know, if anybody's hungry, come to me. And these are passages that are straight out of the Old Testament. I mean, you go back to Isaiah 48, and you have Yahweh saying, "Listen to me." And then, of course, right away in Isaiah 48, you have Jesus saying that he's been sent by the Father. You also have in Isaiah 49 that in that day they shall not hunger or thirst. And so you have these whole images of Yahweh's the one who provides food. He's the one who provides drink, and it's all tied to the promise in the land, and the promise given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the promise given to David. So all of this is tied to who Yahweh is and what Yahweh does. He's the one who provides the water to sustain your physical body, and he's the one who provides spiritual water to restore your soul. And so when Jesus makes these claims, I mean, he's taking it right out of the text here. You see this theme kind of throughout the entire Gospel of John. In fact, in John chapter 4, Jesus at the well, and he's at the well talking to this lady, and he says to the lady, "Hey, are you thirsty? Well, everyone who drinks of this water from the well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling to eternal life." I mean, this is this whole image that you have a well, physical water, and you're drawing this physical water that it only sustains your physical body. But Jesus is making the claim that he gives more than just his water. He gives that water that is a well of salvation. You'll even see this back in Isaiah chapter 12, where you have this whole image of joy that comes to the people of God when they draw from the waters from the well of salvation. And so Jesus is making this claim that he's the one who gives spiritual water. He does this again in John chapter 6 when Jesus says to them, I am the bread from bread of heaven. I'm the bread of life. And whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And so Jesus is making these claims that only Yahweh could claim. And you have the words of Yahweh in Isaiah, that he's the one who gives drink to the thirsty, and only he can satisfy the thirsty. In fact, Jesus does this in John chapter 7. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stands up and he cries out and he says, hey, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And so Jesus is the one who gives this water. Jesus is the one who gives the Holy Spirit without measure. I mean, these are claims that only Yahweh himself can make. And that's why you see in John's gospel why the people who are listening to this are so upset. And they claim, blasphemy, blasphemy. How dare you say such things? Because they know well these words of Isaiah. But Isaiah had said already in chapter 53 that no one would listen to him and no one would look at him or hear what the arm of the Lord has to say. And so throughout you have this whole imagery of the people of God refusing to listen, but the word of God promising to satisfy, promising to bring this drink. You have ultimately this in the book of Revelation, that it, taking those words from Isaiah 49, that they shall hunger no more, and neither shall they thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. Why? Because the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, and he will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. So these claims that Jesus are making are claims that only Yahweh himself can make.
What's the context of the Isaiah occurrence where, let's just come out and say it, I mean, you've already strongly pushed us in that direction. This is Christ speaking in both cases, one before his incarnation, the other after. But what's the context of the words that Christ speaks here through the prophet Isaiah?
Well, you have the context, and like I said, go back to about chapter 48, where you have the Christ already speaking, and he's speaking and he's declaring. He says, draw near to me and hear this from the beginning. I have not spoken in secret from time it came to I have been there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. So you have this whole conversation about the Word of God who is sent. Sent to do what God has purposed him to do. And so you have throughout 48 to 49 that you're to listen to this word. And ultimately you get to 52 where my servant shall act wisely. He shall be lifted up and he shall sprinkle many nations. And then you have in 53, he was despised and he was rejected. And we all know 53 is the suffering servant passage. So that's right before this chapter 55, which also talks about this servant, the one who comes to his own people, and they will not receive him.
So there's a picture here of how we would ordinarily come by, say, these essentials for life, water, bread, or food here. What is Yahweh saying in Isaiah 55, the first couple of verses? What is he saying to his people?
Well, he's saying that he is the source of life. And you have all of these passions that happen in our own lives where we become thirsty. And as soon as you become thirsty, you realize that you cannot sustain yourself. You need something from outside of you to sustain just your physical body. And so throughout the Old Testament scriptures, you have this constant move from the physical to the spiritual. So that when you understand that God is the creator of all things, and he's the one who sustains all life, all his creation, and he's the source of whatever we need to sustain our body. He's the one who gives food. He's the one who gives drink. And so when an individual is thirsty, God likes to use this to bring the individual to the realization of the source of all of these good things, these good blessings from his hand. And so physically, you understand that when you're thirsty and you need something to drink, that this comes from God, and it comes without price. It comes freely. God gives this to both the righteous and the unrighteous. And then that spiritual understanding leads us after this to understand that not only does he sustain the body with what we need, the food and drink, he also sustains the soul with the spiritual food and drink. So all of this, this hunger and thirsting should draw us to him so that we would seek him and we would listen to him.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're doing our series on Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Isaiah 55 on this Friday afternoon. It's the 1st of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what it means to spend money for things that aren't even bread or to work for things that do not satisfy. What's that talking about? We'll find out after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
One of the most surprising discoveries I have found in church history that Christians usually did not realize or recognize the effects their actions had when they heeded Christ's words, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven."
Dr. Alvin Schmidt speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Their actions were byproducts of God's redeeming love that was theirs in the crucified and risen life of Jesus Christ. In time, many Christian values and practices became integrated parts of Western culture, and the Christians didn't really quite realize it, as we don't to this day.
You can listen to Dr. Schmidt's presentation, Making the Case for Christianity's Positive Impact on Civilization, on our new audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. I'm thinking we should buy it. I mean, people can't find where we're located at. We buy it, we move it right outside the parking lot here. No problem finding Lutheran Public Radio.
That's true. We could just say, look for the giant ketchup bottle.
We're not going to be there. We're not going to fire off our rifles. And we're not going to put a flag over his coffin and act like he was a veteran. How much more is that true for the Christian? We're not going to put a pall on somebody who hasn't been baptized.
And he says, gee, he says, I saw you do that. That made me think. And he goes, what if we really believed what we said?
I think where this comes from is the form of many of these hymns, bar form. And somebody somewhere, the only bar that they knew about was where you're going to drink.
In about an hour from now, we're going to play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week, live on this Friday afternoon, the 1st of August. We're going to play those four soundbites in their entirety. That was just a taste of them. We'll play those four soundbites for you. All you got to do is listen to the soundbites, and then you vote for Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. Which of those soundbites you think ought to be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Also, your opportunity, if you have the best vote, to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. That goes to the listener with the best vote when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week live this Friday afternoon in about an hour. We're talking about Christ in the Old Testament, our regular weekly series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, the prophet is asking the rhetorical question, why do you spend your money for that which isn't bread? Why do you work for that which does not satisfy? What is he speaking of there? I mean, is he speaking of literal bread, literal work for things that don't satisfy, or something else?
Well, that's a great question. In our everyday life, we pursue all kinds of things. And we pursue things and we think that in them we will have satisfaction, that we will find the fulfillment of our life or our dreams or whatever it may be. But you go around and you toil and you struggle, but that's not the end game. That's not the final goal. And so this whole idea that you think that if I have the most toys when I die, then I win, well, you don't if you die, and then you die eternally. And you're not raised again to life to be with Christ in his kingdom forever and eternity. And so this whole message here, this whole question is one that you're trying to diagnose. Where are you going in life? What are you spinning your wheels on? And so you think that you have everything, you think you have all that you need, but then you become hungry again. You become thirsty again. You have greed for more. You're never satisfied. And so you see this movement from the physical to the spiritual, so that when you understand that these earthly things in this fallen creation do not satisfy, it is to point you to the Creator who alone can satisfy. And so Jesus will use the same kind of imagery again in John chapter 6, where he says that he is this bread from heaven. And he tells the people, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs. Now, the signs, of course, that he's talking about, you just fed the multitude. It's because you ate your fill of the loaves. And so these people were just filled in their bellies, and they say, great, now Jesus is the bread king, and he's going to just keep giving us bread, and he's going to give it to us free. This is great. And so Jesus says, here's the problem. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. And so this claim that Jesus is making is a claim that no one can make except for God himself, that he alone can satisfy. Any earthly king could bring to you bread. In fact, that's what his duty is as a representative of God on earth. He's supposed to make sure you have your bread. But Jesus is the King of Kings, and so he can give to you bread that endures to eternal life. He gives to you himself. He gives to you his own body, his own blood. He gives his life. He gives his flesh for the life of the world. And so Jesus here is using this same imagery of Isaiah 55 and John 6, that you guys saw the miracle, and the miracle shows that I can provide you bread. But it's pointing to a greater reality that I provide for you life that endures forever. And so these passages in Isaiah are about seeking Yahweh where he may be found, and call upon him while he is near, and let not the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them all turn to Yahweh, and he will have compassion on him, and he will abundantly pardon. And as the Greek, when they translated this Hebrew, it says, because he will forgive your sins. You see, to pardon is to forgive. That this spiritual debt and deficiency that you have, the wages of sin is death, and he alone can forgive your sins. And so it's pointing to this whole reality from moving from the physical bread and water to the physical bread and water. The thirst that you have is the thirst for righteousness that only Jesus himself can satisfy. And so these claims, seek Yahweh, and Jesus stands up and says, seek me, are huge claims.
Now, it's not just a contrast between working for stuff that doesn't satisfy or paying for things that isn't really bread. When Jesus presents this bread, this living water, it is a gift. It's not earned. There's no money involved. There's no labor involved. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, well, this is this whole language of come and buy, but without money. Come and purchase, but without a price. This is totally a free gift of God. So even you have in John chapter 6, where the people who are listening to Jesus and beginning to kind of get what he's saying, then they ask him, they say, okay, well then fine, what is the work of God? What do we need to do? What is this labor of that's on our part? And then Jesus turns this all around and says, well, here's the work of God, that you believe. That you believe the Christ that has been sent. And so this is the work of God. In fact, it's God himself who gives this freely. It's his action to give you this faith. And faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. And so it's about listening to him. And so Jesus says, listen to me diligently. And it's through his word that the Holy Spirit is given, that sins are forgiven, and that righteousness is bestowed. And so this is Jesus who comes as the incarnate word to give what only God himself can give.
Now, what does this mean in the third verse there? Incline your ear and come to me here. What does that mean?
Well, this incline your ear is this, I think typically we'll say something like, citizens of Athens, lend me your ear, or whatever we might say. It's, listen up, I've got something important to tell you. And so give me your ear so that I can fill it, and I can fill it with eternal life. And so this claim that only God can make, listen to him. Listen to his word, because only in his word is there life. Come to him. Seek him. And see, the claim that Jesus is making is a claim that no man could make, unless, of course, he was a complete liar or a lunatic. But Jesus, who is God, says, seek me rather than seek Yahweh, because he is Yahweh in the flesh. But his kingdom is not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And as we said before in the Old Testament prophets, you typically move from the physical to the spiritual. So when you see a physical kingdom like Babylon coming and destroying Jerusalem, and then you see a physical kingdom by Cyrus and the Persians who relieve them and give them rest, this points to this spiritual kingdom that only God can bring, and it comes by his word. And it's only in the word that the Holy Spirit is given to bring you into this kingdom.
He mentions in that same verse, I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Deal with those two things, those allusions to the covenant with David. How will we find Christ in there?
Yeah, well, this covenant, of course, this diatheke in the Greek, this is given to the people of God, of course, at Mount Sinai with Moses. But then you have, like, the prophet Jeremiah, who will say there will be this new covenant with the people of God that will extend to the Gentiles, and which is an important issue that we need to discuss, too, in this chapter, the conversion of the Gentiles. And so it's this new covenant that will be given. In fact, you had this in the previous chapter, in chapter 4, about this covenant of peace. Peace between God and creation. And so this is this covenant, this everlasting, this eternal covenant that will be given. You see this, of course, in the Lord's Supper, when Jesus takes the cup and he says, this is the New Testament in my blood. Take and drink. And then he says, this is my body which is given for you. Take and eat. And again, you have that same kind of imagery of thirst and hunger and being satisfied in a covenant, the covenant that he gives in his own blood, for he is the covenant. And so you have this whole imagery in the New Testament about this covenant. You see this in Hebrews. It talks about this eternal covenant, that you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festival gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. And here, this is Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And of course, that's in Hebrews 12, and Hebrews ends on the note that the God of peace, like that covenant of peace back in Isaiah 54, he brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. And again, this language of Jesus being the shepherd, he's the one who lays down his life for his sheep, and his sheep are the ones who listen, who hear his voice, who come to him, and I receive eternal life. And so this is this whole language of the covenant. In fact, this same passage in Isaiah 55 is quoted by Peter in the New Testament as a resurrection passage, that this sure word for David, this promise that's given to David, is fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. And so you see that too, that back in Acts chapter 13, where Peter is just listing off a bunch of passages in the Old Testament about the resurrection of Christ, and he quotes from Isaiah 55 and says, "And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return from corruption, well, he spoke in this way." And then he quotes Isaiah 55, verse 3, and says, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David." And so this all goes back to this promise of David, that the Son of David would come and bring this eternal kingdom. And again, as a spiritual kingdom, it comes by the word of God.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. When we come back, we're going to talk about something he mentioned just a second ago, and that is in this passage of Isaiah 55, there is the conversion of the Gentiles. Behold, you shall call a nation that you did not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. And then we'll also conclude by talking about that most famous of these verses, the word that goes out of my mouth shall not return to me empty. Is he just talking about Scripture, or is he also talking about Jesus? Stay tuned.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ at the Center, the Justification of the Ungodly, a Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, the Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes in this hour, talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer in our weekly series with him on Christ in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. Then a little bit later on this Friday afternoon, in hour two, Scott Klusendorf will join us. He's founder and president of Life Training Institute. There's a recent statement by the president of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards. She's saying that, look, abortion is safe, and that means that there does not need to be any higher medical standards held to this procedure than anything else. Now, is that necessarily true? I mean, she cites kind of the often cited canard of of women dying in emergency rooms before Roe v. Wade. Is that true? Scott Klusendorf will join us for that, and then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, you mentioned before the conversion of the Gentiles, and it's right here in Isaiah 55. Where do we find it, and what does it say?
Well, again, when we talk about Christ in the Old Testament, one of the things we're looking for is the conversion of the Gentiles. And so you have this passage that the people of God are to listen to him. They are to seek him, but they won't. And so starting at verse 4, it says, "Behold, I made him," which of course is the Christ, "a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples." And so this is this whole language that those who were supposed to listen, who should listen, who have the word of God, refuse to listen, crucify their king, and put to death the author of life. Well, all of this was going to happen. It's not like it was an accident or a mistake and we have to go to plan B. Instead, what Isaiah is already telling the people of God is the Gentiles will be converted because the people of God do not receive him and the word of God goes out of Jerusalem into all nations. And so you'll see, like Jesus saying in Matthew 24, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony, a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." So this message is to go out to the nations. In the very next verse, in verse 5 of Isaiah 55, it says, "Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." And so we see this whole conversion of the nations, that the people who were not the people of God, who were in darkness, are brought into the kingdom of light, and they become the people of God. This is exactly what was going on in the previous chapter, back in chapter 54, which began, and it said this. It said that you should now wake and glorify and rejoice. Rejoice, O people. It says, "Sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will become more than the children of her who is married." And this is Isaiah 54. The one who's not in labor is to break forth and rejoice because those Gentiles will now have children of the kingdom. Paul uses this passage in Isaiah 54 to talk about the people in Jerusalem who refuse to listen, which he labels as Mount Sinai, and the people who are converted, the remnant and the Gentiles, are now this spiritual Jerusalem. They are Mount Zion, the people of God. And then he quotes this passage from Isaiah 54 in this conversion of the Gentiles.
The passage that is usually read, and this is one that probably every Lutheran has more or less committed to memory, at least every Lutheran pastor does, the 11th verse of Isaiah 55. "So shall my word," it's talking about the snow and the rain that comes down from heaven, "so shall my word that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I for which I purpose it, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Now, ordinarily, that is taught as kind of the seat of doctrine for the power and the efficacy of Holy Scripture, of God's external word, as we would say. Holy Scripture, it comes down, and God does what he intends to do through his powerful and active word. Is there more to it than that, Brian?
Well, you cannot divorce the Word of God from the incarnate Word of God. You cannot divorce this speaking of God from the one who comes to speak in the person of the Son. And so you cannot divorce the two. The Word of God is the one who says, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden and labor, and I'm the one who's going to give you rest." And so it's Jesus, the incarnate Word, just like we have that theme in chapter 6 where he speaks to the people and he says, "My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink," and the people are listening and said, "Okay, we've had enough, so we're not going to listen." And so they say, "This is a hard saying, forget it." And this is where he turns to the disciples, the 12, and says, "Are you going to go too?" And this is where Peter says those wonderful words, "No, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And so this whole language of the Word Word. The Word being sent by the Father, of course, is the theme that you see in John's Gospel, that the Father sends the Son. And even though the people of God in Israel, in Jerusalem, reject this Word and crucify Him, yet the purpose of God will come to pass. His word will be heard. His word will bring the kingdom, just like Isaiah is saying in this passage, that the word will come, and even though he's put to death, he will come back to life, and this word will go to the nations, just like he said. So it's not this strange kind of plan B, that Jesus came and he talked in Jerusalem, and for some strange reason they didn't accept him as king, and so God had to have the great parentheses and just wait until the great rapture, supposedly. Instead, all of this is the word comes to Jerusalem, and he accomplishes exactly what he sent. In his own death and crucifixion, he brings life. And so this is the word that is sent by the Father. And of all the Gospel according to John is the one that most clearly articulates this distinction between the Father who sends and the Son who is sent. And then he takes these 12 disciples, well, of course, minus one, the betrayer, and he sends them out and says, as the Father sent me, now I send you. And he sends them to the nations.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, it's always a pleasure, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Scott Klusendorf. I'd like him to respond to something that Cecile Richards recently said in an interview with Bill Moyers. She said that there's absolutely no merit in the argument that abortion is different from other procedures and therefore needs higher medical standards, or I would just argue for equal medical standards to other procedures. She comes back by saying there is absolutely no merit to that and that abortion is one of the safest medical procedures in the country. And she has a few more things to say, but I'd like Scott Klusendorf to respond at least at first to that when we come back in hour two of Issues, etc. And he will. Scott Klusendorf, founder and president of Life Training Institute, will be our guest. Then we're going to play Issues, etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's a game we like to play with our listeners. It requires your participation, and you can actually participate in advance by going to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc, and vote in advance for Issues, etc. Soundbite of the Week. Or you can also listen to those soundbites at our website, issuesetc.org, and send us an email with your vote. talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll be playing Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about 35 minutes. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois. 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.